Hi, and welcome back to the show. I'm joined here by Mark Oswald, strategist at ADM Investor Services. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Morning.
I thought we'd kind of kick off a bit where I left off with the last interview with Dave Harris, talking about the election. I mean, we were talking about things are looking increasingly tight going in. We've got 3 weeks to go into the UK general election. Mm. It's looking increasingly likely that we're going to have no clear result. But markets are getting, you know, how a market's going to take that is getting increasingly nervous over it.
Yeah, I mean, the precedent for all these things is always the same, that you go back to the 1974 election. And then it's interesting as a sort of comparison to note that when we didn't sort of get a clear result on the first one, markets didn't take it too much amiss.
Yeah.
But when it became clear that there was going to be a second one, then suddenly they did take it amiss. I think in this particular case, it really depends on what the sort of constellation looks like of what sort of minority government might be formed.
Yeah.
Certainly the interesting aspect is it's getting, the situation's becoming very bifurcated, because as much as one would, looking at the polls, one would suggest there's going to be no overall majority, if there is one, we would probably change the outlook for the economy, for the UK economy, quite dramatically. Because if you look at incoming data, like the labour data that we had today, which were very, very, very solid, you'd be suggesting that we'll suddenly be talking about rate hikes again.
Yeah. I mean, the obvious kind of thing when it comes to the comparison with 1974 and today is that the economy is in a very different position. You know, and it's you know, you look at, you know, if right now, I would like to have no, you know, if your economy is ticking on quite well, like that, it's quite a nice time to have no government interfering, can you?
Well, I mean, there are precedents, obviously, in Belgium. They didn't have a government for 18 months and the economy did really well. Ever since they've had a government, it's not been going so well.
Yeah.
Yes, the comparison to 1974 is obviously very stark, because we had the oil crisis back then and the three-day week, et cetera, et cetera. I think in this particular case, though, you know, what it really highlights is if we were to get a government, that basically things are actually going very, very well. If we don't get a government, then we could see all those, well, it's not even green shoots, it's an economy which is humming along nicely, probably evaporate very, very quickly, because investment decisions would inevitably be postponed. The other problem with it is if you actually look at a lot of the hustings that we have and the debates on television, is all of the parties are actually trying to avoid the major issue, which is the UK has a very substantial deficit.
Yeah.
And someone's going to have to do something about it afterwards. And we're only going to find out after the election what they're really going to do. The promises being made at the moment are pie in the sky stuff.
Yeah, they're just nibbling around the edges. And arguably, so going into the election, one could argue that the Conservatives have been very lucky. You look at lots of the kind of strong, you know, lots of the kind of strong numbers we're having. A lot of them are in spite of the government. You know, they've had global, you've got lower rates globally, you've got this decline in oil prices feeding through into low inflation, so people are having more cash in their pocket. For the first time in this government, we're seeing, you know, increased earnings, people seeing their real pay go up for the first time during under this coalition government. So lots of these things that are happening have been in spite of the government. And also those lower borrowing costs. You know, over the course of the 5 years, they've had record low borrowing costs. They've been able to run this deficit. They've been able to manage this debt. But if we see, you know, who knows over the next 5 years, they're not going to be able to carry on nibbling around the edges. And they've already plucked a lot of the low-hanging fruit as far as cuts go.
So. Yes, and obviously the outcomes are quite extreme. You know, we know that if we get a Conservative or it's a reprise of the current coalition government with the Liberal Democrats, there will be a lot of cuts, a lot more than they've actually mooted, particularly to services, which won't go down well. That will impact, you know, you would have to hope that earnings do start to pick up so people can mitigate some of the effects of those cuts. On the other hand, if it were to be, say, a Labour government either supported by the Lib Dems or supported by the SNP in any way, we're looking at a situation where you start to wonder actually what sort of a mess they might make of the economy.
Yeah, and obviously as well in the UK we've got the concern that, you know, we've got our major trading partners in Europe, and Europe is still not looking particularly like it's on the track to getting to increasing demand there?
No. There are hopeful signs. The lending surveys that we're starting to, both from the ECB and particularly the Italian lending survey yesterday, that was showing business lending up 9% relative to the same quarter of last year. Huge rise in mortgages, up 44%. So there are some signs there, but the whole issue of the Eurozone's governance isn't going away. It's most obviously encapsulated in the Greek situation at the moment. And without resolving that, one has to wonder how long any recovery is actually going to be sustained.
Yeah, I mean, we're increasingly seeing this, well, not increasingly, we've continued to see this trend of trying to solve fiscal problems with monetary solutions. And we're not seeing any real structural reform anywhere in Europe.
In Europe or in the UK or the US. Yeah. The fact of the matter is, one of the big moans that everyone has is we've got these ultra low interest rates. And what you've got in company terms is companies basically using the ultra low interest to buy back their shares, to borrow money to pay out very big dividends, and their actual investments are very, very poor. And whether it's in the Eurozone or whether it's in the UK or whether it's in the US, you really do have to ask the question, isn't it blindingly obvious to everyone that what needs to be tweaked here is fiscal policy, i.e. tax policy? So you disincentivize things like share buybacks, you disincentivize huge amounts of borrowing, and you give incentives for companies to invest. And, this isn't rocket science.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, with you've got these perverse incentives and these perverse outcomes because of these record low rates and because people don't get taxed on debt.
Yeah.
And so you've got no reason not to take on massive amounts of leverage. And when you see rate hikes come up, we've got this purely, arguably, a purely liquidity-driven market and nothing fundamentally driving it. And it's a recipe for a bit of a disaster when rate hikes start to come.
Indeed. And at some stage, they definitely will come. It's still a little bit up in the air when the US is going to go, but it certainly will hike rates sometime this year. That much, even Mr. Fisher said yesterday, the market's discounting that we are going to hike rates this year. That's about as definitive as you can go, and that's probably about the right sort of assessment. Yeah. And I think what people do need to bear in mind in terms of the US is they have to go this year.
Yeah.
And I'll explain why. Because they've got an election next year. And as much as there's plenty of historical precedent for the Fed either hiking rates or cutting rates during an election year, what they wouldn't want to be doing is coming out of this extraordinary, unprecedented period of super lax policy at the start of next year. They want to have it as work in progress so people really don't get too distracted by it during the elections, particularly as the Fed is in such a big clinch with Congress.
Well, on that happy note, and I wish we had a bit more time, but thank you very much. We're going to have to wrap things up. Mark Oswald, Strategist at ADM Investor Services. Look forward to having you back on the show again soon for a bit more kind of happy outlooks on the economy. straight after the break, we're joined by Mark Learmonth, CFO at Caledonia Mining. Don't go anywhere.